an Old Testament passage for an Easter Sunday morning sermon. I'm going to take my watch off and lay it right there, and that is for your sake. Amen. I have been preaching, I think today makes 39 days straight that I've been in meetings now, and usually at least always once a day, sometimes more than once a day in different services as well, and with funerals and other services. And of course, today we're in three services, and next Sunday we'll have three services, and the following Sunday, three services. But God is good. And we thank you, the church, for your prayers for us and the strength that the Lord has given to us. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, for thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light, or the moon or the stars, be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Now here we start getting a picture. We had those babies. Parents and grandparents stood up with those babies. But you live long enough, this is what's going to happen to your body. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, you'll begin to shake. Uncontrollably sometimes, can somebody say amen right there? And the strong men shall bow themselves. You ever notice how you get older, you get shorter? Hey, I told Candy yesterday, I said, I'm 2 inches shorter than what I used to be. She said, that's because you walk around like this all the time. And the grinders shall cease because they are few. Your teeth's going to fall out. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Your eyesight will begin to dim. And the doors shall be shut in the street, and the sound of the grinding is low. Your hearing will go bad. He shall rise up with the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Isn't it something you always say, one of these days I'm going to retire and I'm going to sleep till noon? But now you can't. You wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and every 15 minutes you're awake again, so by 5 you say, I might as well get up. Amen? Do you associate with what I'm saying today? It's a part of life. Also, when they shall be afraid of them which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. You get to the point that you don't want anything in life. That sounds strange, but you talk to a lot of older folks, you'll find out they want very little out of life, have very little expectations. Their hair's turning silver, and the things begin to burden them that they didn't think about years ago, but it begins to burden them. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Now here's the text. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return unto God who gave it. I'm going to preach this morning on the silver cord. The silver cord has as much to do with the resurrection as anything that I could select to preach on. Every year, I believe, just about every year, I've always preached from text on the resurrection. But this week was unusual. God moved on me really for the past 2 weeks. And begin to deal with me about that phrase, the silver cord shall be loosed. We have a picture of someone that's getting older and that they're dying. And I deal with death every day. Many of you here deal with death regularly. A lot of times there's a mystery. What happens after death? And that's the question that the resurrection answered. I think it's natural we think about things when we think about dying. We have to learn right in the onset that the real you, there's three parts to you that make you who you are. The body, the soul, and the spirit. The Bible says God formed man out of the dust of the earth. That's the body. Breathed in the nostrils of man the breath of life. That is ruach in Hebrew, life, breath, wind. and man became a living soul, nephesh. Here we have the body with the spirit and the soul. We know that at death, something happens between them. Now, I started praying about a way to make this so that you could understand. And God is good all the time. I got an egg here. This is my egg. You know how I know it's my egg? Because it says cow on it. This egg has three parts to it. There is a shell, there is a yolk, and there is the white of the egg. Now, how many of you know the valuable parts on the inside of this egg? I don't eat the shell. How about you? In fact, the only way for the valuable part to come out of this egg, shell has to be broken. Oh, glory. At death, something strange happens. The body is the shell that holds the soul and the spirit. You say, well, preacher, it's hard to understand the difference between the soul and the spirit. Well, I think when you begin to look at it, it is hard to sever. But the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the soul from the spirit. The soul is the eternal part of man that will never die. But also, God has given man a spirit. And with the soul and the spirit combined, we have the seat of all affection. We know from the spirit of man, which is Ruach in Scripture, that it controls and refers to our feelings. It refers to our will. It has that vitality to energize the spirit man of God. I pinned these words down when I thought about the spirit. And I said the vital principle by which the body is animated is through the spirit. The power by which the human being feels, thinks, and decides for the soul. Did you catch that? Your soul will be alive a million, a trillion years from now. Your soul will be somewhere. Two destinies of the soul. Heaven or hell. The spirit of man is dormant until the Word of God comes. And when the Word of God comes, then and only then, the spirit man is made alive, not through a birth of the flesh, but through a birth of the Spirit. Because we are dead in our sins and transgressions. Oh, I know where I'm going, and I wish I could just go there right now. But you got to stay with me. I read something this week. The question this morning, please hear me, is not are you a good person? I'm glad that you've come to church on Easter Sunday morning. I'm glad you talk about God every now and then and maybe even pray every now and then. But the question is, does the Spirit inside of you have the same witness as the Spirit of the living Christ that gives life? Because if that is the case, you've had to have been born again. You know that birth? You're right back to the same thing when a child is born. The child is conceived. And God has put a place inside of a mother for a child to be protected before it's born. It's protected by the water that surrounds it. But also there is a life-giving cord. Are you with me? A life-giving cord that sustains the life of that baby. Now, we hear so much, from people that are pro-choice that it's the woman's body and it's her choice. It is her body. But there is another body in her body. That's where the problem comes in. Because inside the womb is now another living entity. Now stay with me. I know where I'm going. I listened to a doctor talk this week and he gave a testimony. And when he gave it, I just absolutely had a fit. I mean, I had to pull the car off, get out and stretch a little while and shout when I got to thinking about what he was saying. He said during the birthing process, there's three stages. He said the first stage is what is called the descent. It's when the baby makes its way down into the birth canal. Then in the descent, following the descent, comes the rotation. The child completely turns around. Oh, glory. Then the final stage before the birth comes is the crowning. Oh, blessed be God. I'm saying that with God there is a born-again experience where there is a life-giving cord that all of our life, here's what happens. Our soul and our spirit is attached to this body, the flesh, and it craves the things of the flesh. But there is an inner man that has a birth, and they say as soon as that child is born, they have to cut that life cord, because no longer can the child live. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No longer can the child live off the mother. It no longer needs the mother's life flow and life force. It would not live if it was not separated. Thank God for the born again experience that one day we descend. It's called old time conviction that humbles you down. And we do a rotation that's called repentance, where we turn completely around. And then comes the crowning. God says, you're a new creature in Christ. All things passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But if you're not careful, the cord will not be cut. So your life and sustaining life is from the old man that has to be severed. You're a new creature. You can't be attached anymore. Could you imagine a doctor letting a baby come into this world and not severing that cord? That may seem cruel, but it's in the child's best interest. Now. Oh boy, let's see. Yeah, I'm good. Amen. Now, here we are as human beings. The egg. Something happens when we die. The shell is broken. Because God wants what's valuable to come back. You think that I'm wrong on that? Let me read you some scriptures. Genesis 25:8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died. Genesis 25:17. Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died. Genesis 35:29. Mark 15:37. Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Acts 5:5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Acts 12:20-25 talks about Herod, but in particular, I want you to look at verse 23. And immediately, this is Herod, and immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, some of these folks were saved. One was the Son of God, Jesus. But he gave up the ghost. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, the time will come when the shell will be broken. And we'll give up the ghost. And that word means the spirit and soul. That goes back to God which gave it. There was a terrible dilemma prior to Calvary. Mankind would work to keep the law, do all that they could, offer the sacrifices. But then, at the end of all of it, they were still destined to the bowels of the earth. Sinner and saint alike has a soul. You don't think that you have a soul? If I was to crack this egg open, and by the way, this is boiled. I'm not a crazy preacher. But before it's boiled, inside that egg, there is a little cord. You see it sometimes in the white of an egg. That little cord attaches itself to the shell until no matter which way you turn it, the egg is protected until the shell is broken. Then the cord is broken. There comes a point at death where the body is severed or separated. The silver cord is loosed from the soul and spirit and the body. Now, let me tell you what happened when Jesus died. Since Adam and Eve sinned, the problem with it is we had no hope. Sin ruled. Death ruled. When Jesus died that day, two brothers that came out of the Garden of Eden, one was called sin and one was called death. And sin was there to make sure he somehow got into Christ, because had sin not got in, he could not have died. Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Jesus never sinned. But he who knew no sin became sin for us. Do you know why he had to become sin? Because death cannot come without sin. If Adam had not sinned, he would still be alive. Jesus was the second Adam. And the Bible said, we hear so much people talk about and preach about Christ. Do you know that Jesus could not have died until he chose to die? Scripture said, no man hath the power to take my life. I have the power. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. So until Christ submitted to taking on in himself our sin, not his sin, he could not die. But as he took our sin on him, he bled and he died. And when sin was finished with him, sin said, now it's over. Death, you can have it. Can you imagine what happened in the bowels of the earth? Every day I believe sin went over and said to death, death, do you have him? Yeah, I've got him. Death, you better hold on to this one. There's something different about him. All the other ones, when they came in, I was already in them. And it wasn't any problem to make them go the wrong way. But this one, I had to fight to get inside. So I had to muster up all of the past and all of my imaginations of the future to enter in before he would ever submit to it. He's different, death. Are you sure you have him? I've got him. Don't worry about it. Next day he comes back. Death, do you have him? Sin, I told you once. I'll tell you twice. Quit bothering me. I've got him. I've got him.
Didn't you see me take him? Didn't you see him give up the ghost? I've got him! He said it's finished! He started out perfect, but I ruined him in the end. I've got him! Don't worry! Sin said he's different. I'm telling you, he's different. On that third morning, do you have him? I've got him! Quit worrying about it! I've got him! I've got him! While they're standing there talking about their power through the ages and how for all of these thousands of years sin had bred inside the heart of every living human being and death had taken hold when the shell was broken and the silver cord was loose and as death was bragging, all of a sudden there was a rumble in the bowels of the earth and suddenly on the horizon they saw light from glory and they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "My name's Victor and I've come to give the darling Son of God out this morning. It's resurrection day. Thank God Jesus tore the bars away. Death could not hold its prey. Jesus my Savior. Jesus my Lord." Ascended in grand procession with all those that had served him. And now through that wonderful experience, he says to you and I, there can be a birth that overcomes death. What is it? God severs that cord. And he said, you'll still have to face that separation, but there is another cord that he attaches. Let me ask something. Where does that cord attach to a baby? Come on now, you're smarter than that. Speak up. Where does it attach? Their belly. Have you ever noticed that Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of water? Have you ever noticed when Paul looked around and said, if I see my brother in need, and I have of this world's goods, and I shut up my bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in me? Do you know what he was saying? It is something from that life cord. I can't help it. Every now and then, something way down inside here. And it's not because I didn't eat breakfast this morning. There's something more important than that that begins to move and begins to flow and begins to churn. And you know what it is? It is the thought that one of these days the shell's going to be broken and the cord is going to be cut. But I'll fly away with the wings of the morning into the very presence of God. I don't know about you, but when I crack the egg and we fry an egg, we take the shell and we throw it away. I had a hard time with that for years. I had to pass by those caskets and I'd look, all the undertakers would do such a wonderful job. But in my mind, I knew where that body's going back to. You have to discard it. We've got a place over here, a burial ground where folks' bodies have been discarded. The shells have been placed there. And I just couldn't get it out of my mind, you know, how that those worms one day will eat away at that shell. That shell is worthless and the worms will devour it. And I think, God, I'm glad that I'm saved. I know that my soul and my spirit will be with you. But Lord, when you talk about coming again and the dead in Christ rising and us getting our glorified body, how's that going to happen? And God reminds me, like how I'll redeem the body in that day also. It won't be the same body of God now. Well, how can that be if the skin worms devour the flesh? God said, "Cal, it doesn't matter." But I said, "Lord, wait, if the skin worms devour the flesh, what happens if a bird comes along and eats the worm? And then, God, what happens If the cat comes along and eats the bird, what happens then? If the dog comes along and eats the cat, God said, cow, don't you know, on that resurrection morning, that one day, hallelujah, one day the dog will give up the cat, and the cat will give up the bird, and the bird will give up the worm, and the worm will give up the flesh, but it won't be the same body you've got right now. It'll be a glorified body that'll be disease-proof and age-proof. It'll be a body that'll never know pain or heartache or suffering. Why? Because the risen Lamb said He'd conquered death, hell, and the grave. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Spend all the time on the shell. And let the most valuable part go. What's on the inside of you is what's valuable today. I just can't get off my mind an old boy that was saved on Monday night. I hadn't seen it for years. I'm telling you, the power of God came on him so strong. I thought he's going to have a heart attack before he got out of the pew. He was sucking air and holding his chest. Young man. He sat down and he got up. And he sat down and he got up. He stepped out and he stepped in. It was crowded and there was on his pew and he was right in the middle. He'd try to get out and people was in his way. And he'd sit back down. Finally, he just cleared the pew. Folks could hear him running. Came in and fell at that altar. Broken. Wept and cried. He got saved, and after he got saved, he said, I never cared anything about you all. Didn't like a Christian anywhere. Said, but my boy, 15 years old, got saved. I wouldn't go to church, so he decided to get baptized. And I said, I promised him I'd go get baptized, or go watch him get baptized. So I went to the baptism and I watched him get baptized. Said, when I went home that night, he said, honey, something's bad wrong there. Those people had something inside of them, and it scares me to death. Said, something come in my body while I was there. Said, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to find out what it is. His old time conviction was what it was. And he sat up every night for over a week, 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, reading his Bible. And he come down and he knelt at the altar and he said, I kept wanting to know, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? And he said, I've got the answer for you. You can't tell anybody about it. You just have to experience it. Oh, thank God. If you're here this morning and the shell has bound the soul and spirit, make sure that the inner man is alive in Christ, that you've had a born-again experience, that you know your sins are forgiven, that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. You can know that this morning. The valuable part of you is the inner person. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? We're all headed to one of those plots. You may not have one here. You may not have yours bought. But you're going there somewhere. The difference is, to the child of God, with the body, we're not throwing it away. We're sowing or we're planting a seed. And God, in good time, will allow the harvest to come in. But as we plant the seed, it's sown corruptible. It's sown mortal. But when God raises it, it'll be raised incorruptible. it'll be raised immortal. Amen. Glory be to God. We'll get to heaven and we'll have the time. You think we've had a time here this morning. You wait till we get to the glorious city of God.